Programming on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our members and the Cache Valley Visitors Bureau, presenting the Cache Valley Foodie Trek, access to the National Forest, and live theater opportunities. More information available online at explorelogan.com.
Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking about the Wellsville sham battle. It's been much in the news. Here's a quoting from a press release. Native American activists and their supporters will be holding a press conference and rally on Wednesday at 5 p.m. prior to the Wellsville City's council meeting. They're responding to the sham battle, a recent Founders Day celebration that featured white men and women dressed up as Indians with their faces and bodies painted red, wearing costumes that mimicked what they assumed to be Native American attire. They're also concerned that the Wellsville event distorted the historical record and downplayed the violence and profound suffering of Native people experienced as a result of Cache Valley settlement. That's from a press release. We have with us the rally and press conference organizer in studio. He's also a Utah activist with Native American tribes, Robert Lucero. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom.
We have with us in studio Darren Perry, who's chairman of the Northwestern Band of the Shoshone Nation. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I believe we have online James Singer with the Utah League of Native American Voters. James,
good
are you
to
there?
Be here, Tom.
Good to have you back on the program. So let me start with Darren Perry on this. This has been going on, I think, since the 30s, this sham battle. And I'm guessing that you've been aware of it before this. This ignited the controversy with Robert Gerke's column.
Sure. I think it's actually been going on for 100 years,
they say.
So we've known about it the last 2 years, I would say. A concerned citizen brought it to our attention 2 years ago at a council meeting. At that time, we decided as a council, we didn't know what they were saying, we didn't know the narrative, and we just figured, well, I'm sure it's probably insensitive to our people, but we're going to choose to not do anything at that point.
Okay.
And so we just left it alone. Hmm. And then with Robert Gerke's article, it kind of changed things.
Right, right. So, weren't aware of it before 2 years. Why do you think it just didn't come to your attention? I guess you know a lot of the Shoshone went to the Founders Day or what?
I don't think any of us went to the Founders Day. Mm-hmm. And gosh, I don't know. I think I've talked to people in Cache Valley. A lot of people up here weren't aware of it.
Yeah.
So
I wasn't aware. I've been here 30 years. I wasn't aware of it. I guess I haven't been to Founders Day. Was there, I guess it was just maybe like me, people didn't go or maybe?
Probably people didn't go, and it was a local celebration with the good people of mm-hmm. Wellsville. So it's a pretty tight-knit community.
Yeah.
And so I can see that, you know, it didn't get out much.
I guess another theory I could have, with maybe see if this is correct or not, you know, is a Shoshone Founders Day maybe isn't a thing to celebrate.
Yeah, one town's Founders Day is another person's reason to mourn the loss of our culture.
Right.
So we were there when they arrived and actually had a good relationship with those early saints. They arrived late in the fall. They would have starved probably had it not been for Sagwitch and some of his people. So,
yeah. And then things deteriorated from there.
Right. Over the years, as more and more saints arrived to the valley, it certainly did.
Right.
I mean, our way of life was gone. So,
culminating the Bear River Massacre, we can talk about that as we go along. And there's a controversy over that, whether you call it the battle or the massacre, right?
And that's been changed by the government years and years ago.
Yeah.
So,
let me turn next to Robert Lucero. When did you become aware of this?
I do work with the Ute Indian tribe, although they're not publicly sponsoring this event. I'm working with local folks on my own to help what the Shoshone tribe wants to bring to the fore. But it was Larry Sespuch, who's a well-known Ute tribe elder. He was actually one of the cultural representatives during the 2002 Olympics. He's done a couple of TED Talks on Ute culture in Park City. He was very outraged by what happened, by when he saw the Gerke video. Before the column came out on, I think it was a Wednesday, there was a video that was released on Tuesday that he put on YouTube of what he saw at the Wellsville sham battle. And Larry Sespuch, who's a Ute tribe elder but also has Shoshone family, was just outraged. So he and I worked together, and I immediately started to get onto this and called for a press conference and a rally. And excuse me, very quickly, from the online feedback we were getting is people were saying, well, why don't you just not come? Mm-hmm. You know, you're such a snowflake and all this narrative that you have in 2017 that whenever you protest something or question something, you're too insensitive. You're just crying. The problem is that this is a city-sanctioned event. It's not like it's happening on somebody's private ranch or something. This is a city-sanctioned event. And just like the civil rights issues in the 1960s, it's a question of government relations to incidents like this. It isn't like people had a change of heart in the 60s. You know, they had to have legislation come in and say, no, you can't do this. You can't discriminate this way if you're having government funding involved. So as the chairman, Mr. Perry, has said, the people of Wellsville are, I'm sure, are great people. And the question, though, is are they recognizing the insensitivity that this represents toward folks in the valley that don't have their perception on it? There was this line that kept coming out, why are you upset about it? It's been going on for so many years. Why are you upset about it now? Well, it isn't just Robert Gehrke's article that brought it to prominence. That's important. That was key to all this. But I've talked to people who've been insulted every year that this thing is going on. There's a Shoshone, she's a Comanche elder who is in her 80s now, who was a teacher in Cache Valley, Carmelita Thomas, Carmelita Red Elk Thomas. And she said she went in the 90s once and never came back because she was just so appalled by what she saw. She saw a Navajo at the event, and they made eye contact and just could not believe what they were seeing during this sham battle. And so there's people that have been offended by it every year. We believe that as far as the activist community around this here and in Salt Lake is that it's now time for this to just go away.
Let me turn to James Singer. I'll ask you a leading question, James. What's wrong with this? It's obviously a leading question. It's apparently white people dressed up as Indians, you know, hooping and hollering. It's a battle simulating, as they say it, some history here in Cache Valley. One of the arguments from some city officials is that this was a readiness drill from years past, and they're just recreating that.
I find that laughable, actually, to hear that. I think if it were actually based in history, you would actually have a much more solemn kind of attitude towards this whole thing. This was, you're looking at the slaughter of men and women and children, and it's one of the largest kinds of battles that we saw in the Indian Wars, and I think it goes against a lot of what the saints today would see themselves as, which are compassionate people, which are people who belong to a globalized church, who want to be very accepting. This kind of thing runs counterintuitive to their own value system, and to see it as part of a government kind of institution sanctioned that way, we're seeing that this isn't just the kind of racism that you see at a person-to-person level. This is a racism that's embedded within the system, and that's what we find problematic. I think if you're trying to come to terms with your neighbors, with your indigenous neighbors, and trying to seek reconciliation for all the things that have transpired over the years, you have to, the most important part of that is the truth. In the truth and reconciliation, and there's just so many non-truths. There's so many lies that are going on with this sham battle.
Let me follow up, James. You mentioned coming to terms with the past, and some people say about our slave past with slavery, for example, and would probably equate it to here as well. They would say, at long last, can't we just let this go? Can't we just
I would. Of course, we should be letting this go. I think that people on all sides are supposed to, are wanting to do that. But in order to get to that point, one can't just ignore the actual atrocities that happened. I find it really kind of interesting that people who belong to a certain kind of the religion there, the saints there, who are talking about one of their main principles of belief is repentance. And repentance being acknowledging the things that have happened and try to overcome them, right? This would be the way to do that, is to acknowledge what is going on and actually going through the process. It's not necessarily at a person-to-person level. This is at a group and community level. And so that is something that we need to be looking at when we're trying to overcome the past, is to not just forget it, but to reconcile what has actually transpired.
We turn back to Darren Perry. You are going to be at the council meeting
on Wednesday.
They're going to have you speak.
That's right. And prior to that, I want you to know that we met with the mayor and a city council person and their city manager last week. They were gracious enough to come to our tribal office, and we sat down. And while I won't get into the details of what we told them, you can imagine what we told them, and we shared our point of view. Six of us from our tribal council, and I think they got the point. I don't think the people of Wellsville are racist at all. I think there's a core group there. If you look at social media, they're really fired up, and it wouldn't matter what we say to that core group that really wants to keep this thing going. It wouldn't matter. We can point out everything. And Robert, I've read a few of the things going back and forth with some of those individuals. And I even had one of the ladies point out to me, if Darren Perry wants to be taken serious as a Native American leader today, he needs to change his name. So that's the mentality of that core group of who you're dealing with. But that's not been my experience with the leadership of Wellsville and the rest of the citizens. I spoke at their Wellsville Founders Day 2 years ago and was warmly received and was able to share our perspective. Native American perspectives are not shared, and they're not in our history books for a reason. Mm-hmm. Winston Churchill said that history is always written by the victors. Well, when you take that into account, you realize why Native American perspectives are never heard. Mm-hmm. And so I think the city will be receptive to our message, and they were, and I'm on their council agenda for this Wednesday and hope to be able to get past this.
Yeah.
And I think we will. So,
what does the Northwestern Band of Shoshone Nation want? What's your ask?
Well, you know, I made a comment a while ago and to the city manager. I said, Scott, even if we chose to do nothing, there's a storm in your door from just different groups, and as well there should be. I mean, we live in a different world today, and we need to be sensitive to everyone's needs. I'm not overly sensitive. I'm not politically – I don't have to be politically correct every minute, and I'm not sensitive, overly sensitive. I'm not a snowflake, but there comes a point when, as it was mentioned earlier, the historically accurate portrayal of it is not even close. Mm. And so it's racially insensitive, but let's get the facts right and let's celebrate those. So,
we turn to Robert Lucero. I want to ask you what your ask is at the rally, the demonstration there. But first of all, the organizers of the event, the Sham Battle, say that this is not a depiction of the Bear River massacre. Mm-hmm. There's a reference made in the narration, mm-hmm. but they take care to say this is not a depiction of that. Mm-hmm. Still, with that as foundation, mm-hmm. let me ask you what your ask is.
Well, there's a couple of things. I think first is this relates back to the second question you asked James Singer, which is people say, well, why don't we just move on? We're tired of talking about some of this. And well, it's the equivalent of somebody in blackface, you know, imitating a slave picking cotton, looking up at you and saying, can't we just get over this? You know, a white guy in blackface. That's what it is. That's the first problem, is you got these guys on horseback in red face and they don't see it. They don't. And I think they also don't see it in 2017 because of our polarized and unique post-election environment from 2016, which is people are now, it's now okay to just be raw. It's now okay to just let it fly. And so people don't realize that what they're saying is, again, the equivalent of blackface is okay today and just leave us alone. This is our little celebration. You have people online, as the chairman was referencing, people saying, well, then you shouldn't dress up for Halloween. Well, this is not the same thing. Red face, black face is not the same thing as telling you, you know, don't dress up as Batman. You know, somebody made that comparison online. So the ask is to stop with the red face, open up a dialogue with the Shoshone leadership, which is here, about what should be an appropriate representation of the pioneer Native American relations at the time. The idea that these are just this is just portraying these drills. First of all, it's insensitive to the Bear River Massacre. You know, anything that's portraying skirmishes between the Native Americans and the pioneers in Cache Valley is extremely insensitive to what happened. But it's part of the blind spot that I think folks here have. As we've mentioned, both of us have said we're convinced that the people of Wellsville are not, you know, overt racists, you know, walking around with tiki torches or something like that. But there is a problem here that they're missing. And This past Saturday, the University of Utah had the Ute Tribe Business Council and some representatives as part of the color guard for the national anthem. There's a very respectful relationship that the University of Utah has in using the Ute Tribe as their mascot, their colors, et cetera, right? There's a respectful relationship there that the Ute Tribe enjoys. There, something in that direction is where we believe, at least the activist groups believe, this relationship between the Wellsville citizens and their founders, say, with the Shoshone tribe, this is where it should go.
Let's take a break. When we come back, our first question will go to James Singer. I'll also read a statement from Kayleen Ames, Wellsville City Councilwoman, on this. We did put out an invitation to someone from Wellsville City to come on, but they declined and sent a statement. We'll read that, and we'll continue talking about this more. We're talking about the Sham Battle, which has been part of Wellsville Founders Day for 100 years. And recently ignited into controversy in the open due to Robert Gerke's column, The Salt Lake Tribune. We have with us in studio Darren Perry, who's Northwestern Band of Shoshone Nation chairman. We're also talking with Robert Lucero, who's a Utah activist with Native American tribes. He's organizer of the rally and conference at press conference at the which is going to be held in Wellsville, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Tell us again the details.
We're going to have a press conference at 5 p.m. on Wednesday outside the city council chambers. I will moderate it, and our scheduled first speaker will be the chairman, Darren Perry. We also have a few younger Native American activists from throughout, from other parts of the state. But one of them was is Braden Weeks, who is an activist who grew up in Cache Valley. We're also talking to the Native American Student Council at Utah State about their participation as well.
Okay. And Darren Perry will be speaking to the council on Wednesday. James Singer is joining us by phone. He's with the Utah League of Native American Voters. We hope to hear from you as well. We're opening the phone lines now, 800-826-1495. What do you think about all of this? 800-826-1495, toll free. Or you can reach us by email to upraxcess@gmail.com, upraxcess@gmail.com. More follows this break.
Programming on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our members and the Utah Statesman, a USU student-produced media source updated regularly with news, opinion, and sports, distributed across campus in several downtown Logan locations and online, available at usustatesman.com.
On the next Radio Lab.
Music.
But no, no, not that kind of music!
We're talking about music that can knock your walls off.
Tweak your limits.
Save your life.
And steal your soul.
Yeah.
So deep down in the ground.
The power of music.
On the next Radio Lab.
Join us Tuesday morning at 10 on Utah Public Radio.
Thanks for joining us for Access Utah. We are talking about the Sham Battle. That, if you haven't heard about this, it's a reenactment of sorts as part of Wellsville's Founders Day. It's been going on for some 100 years, and in which people dressed as pioneers, Mormon settlers, are in wagons, do battle with other white people dressed up as Indians with red and black paint and headdresses and the like, whooping and hollering. The Native Americans find it offensive. They guess they've just kind of lived with it for many years. And now with Robert Gerke's column, this has come out into the open, erupted in controversy, and everyone's trying to find an appropriate solution to this. It also fits interestingly into today's political climate. There is a connection to the whole controversy over the monuments, Confederate monuments. That was made reference to in Robert Gerke's column. We have with us Robert Lucero, who is a Utah activist with the Native American tribes. He's organizer of a press conference and rally that'll be happening in Wellsville on Wednesday. We have with us on the telephone James Singer, Utah League of Native American Voters. Also teaches, I believe, James at Westminster, right? And Darren Perry, who is chairman of the Northwestern Band of Shoshone Nation. We also hope to hear from you. What do you think about all of this? 800-826-1495, 800-826-1495, or upraccess@gmail.com, upraccess@gmail.com. I promised to James Singer that we'd come to you next. So my question to you is, Robert Gerke makes reference to this. He connects it to the larger controversy over the Confederate monuments, and the arguments seem to be similar on both sides. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting and accurate comparison. We're seeing a lot of folks here feeling like their heritage is being attacked, and it's like kind of ironic because it's like, yeah, so is ours on this side too. But people are being much more vocal about trying to defend those monuments, and the sham battle kind of falls in the same category, I feel like.
What would you, James Singer, what would you like to see done here? The sham battle done away with? Modifications to it? What's the solution?
Well, I was just thinking of that over the break. Like, what would happen if we cast a whole bunch of Native actors in the roles of the actual Natives? Would we still have the same kind of thing play out? And so you're having real Natives on horseback, you know, being massacred by white people. I think you would see a similar kind of thing. It may be even more introspective, like, oh, these are real Natives. They're still around. We just didn't kill them all off like we had thought. So I think if the good people of Wellsville, the government officials could take leadership on this and say, you know, this is something that we've done in the past. We need to recognize the true history of what went on and realize that we're living in a different age where we have all sorts of different members of our community who aren't just descendants of those early saints, that we have other people coming in, and we're part of a larger society here, a society that respects one another, that celebrates the different kinds of subcultures that exist in our society. And doing this kind of thing does not honor them. It does not honor us as Natives. It does not respect diversity in any way.
Darren Perry, I want to ask you what the Northwestern Band of Shoshone Nation would like to see done with the sham battle. But first of all, that's an interesting idea that James Singer has. And you mentioned your recognition that history is written by the victors, right? Mm-hmm. It would be quite interesting to... And though Wellsville City says sham battle is not a depiction of the Bear River Massacre, that would be a whole different scene if the actual massacre were depicted.
Absolutely. Rape of women and bashing the brains out of babies and other things. So, you asked me a few minutes ago what would my outcome be on the sham battle, and I told the city officials that at present, the way it is depicted today, it can't go forward. I think we would all agree to that. And I guess the compromise, if they want to compromise, is if you want to parade your wagons up and down the street and reenact a military exercise, then knock yourselves out and do it. I can guarantee you when they were doing those military exercises in the early days, in those first few years, they weren't dressing up half the town as Native Americans and performing their drills that way. They were performing a military drill in case of an attack by, and probably not only Indians, but others. We don't have to go very far back to see the Mountain Meadow Massacre where Natives were blamed and it wasn't Natives. So, gosh, I don't know. And then I've heard it said from some of the locals that we talk about the Battle of Bear River, but the sham battle has nothing to do with that. Well, that's a naive position because although the early saints of Wellsville did not fire a shot, and I don't believe they did, their presence and coming to the Cache Valley, displacing our people off their native lands and their traditional way of life, absolutely was the only contributor to the Battle of Bear River, or what we call the Bear River Massacre,
right,
is what it is today. So
there's still a battle over the interpretation of this, right? It's been moving more toward accuracy, but the plaque out there, the monument, still says battle, right?
Yeah, there's a monument on Highway 91 right outside of Preston, Idaho, that was erected by the good people of Franklin County in 1932 to celebrate their county's founding. The Utah Daughters of Pioneers got involved and put up a plaque that is really not historically accurate. And my grandmother, May Timbenbu, worked her entire life, probably made 10 trips back to Washington, D.C. to lobby Congress, and it was eventually changed to the Bear River Massacre. And there still is the Daughters of Utah Pioneers plaque up, but on the opposite side, there's also a plaque stating what probably really happened. And at least that's up there.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful with monuments because if I'm a traveler driving down 91 and I stop and I read that plaque about this heroic troops that came in and wiped out the combative men, women, and children of the Shoshone people, what would be my takeaway? It'd probably be, well, wow, that's what happened in this area. Good for the troops to wipe out all these marauding Shoshone people. But it doesn't give you a true picture of what really happened. It gives you one perspective. And actually, when the monument was erected in 1932, I mean, that's 67 years after the actual event. So historically being accurate is not part of what the agenda was, I'm sure.
Yeah. Let me turn back to Robert Lucero. What do you think the best outcome?
Well, I think
would be. I think the amicable, good outcome that everybody can agree to.
Well, I think that the chairman has said a lot about that as far as how the sham battle just has to go away. And I want to underscore that statement with a couple of points, which is the first being that there are a number of Wellsville residents who agree with us, who have come out and said, you know, I'm glad this came to the surface because I've never liked this thing. It's my town, too, and I don't appreciate this. And again, whatever the relatively small amount of money is that the Wellsville city government spends on this event, it is a city-sanctioned event. So that's the problem. The other thing is it's part of this whole, what does Make America Great Again mean, you know, to anybody right now, right? It came up that this repeal of DACA comes out of a thinking that Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, had made very public when he was in the Senate and prior about the quota period in the 1920s on immigration. So the racist laws that existed in culture, that existed in the teens and 20s, is what's behind some of the policies coming out in 2017. The teens is also the era when you had The Birth of a Nation by D.W. Griffith, and you had blackface in Hollywood. One of the first major movies in Hollywood in 1914 was The Birth of a Nation, about the rise of the Klan. There were no black actors in that movie. It was a depiction of black legislators taking over the South, you know, raping white women and the Klan coming to save everybody on horseback. A sham battle in 1914 out of Hollywood. Well, 100 years ago, when the sham battle seems to have begun, this is the national culture, was this Hollywood culture and Hollywood portrayal of blackface and redface. Of course, blackface, we don't do that anymore at all. But Hollywood portrayal of redface is still around. You know, you see it on game day on Saturdays at some colleges still. University of Utah, as I mentioned earlier, has had a better relationship to that problem. But when people in Wellsville have a gut reaction saying, this is our tradition, we've been doing it for 100 years, just go away if you don't like it. Well, it comes out of a national culture, a synthetic culture out of Hollywood that says it's okay to portray Indians as savages in red paint, you know, on horseback, et cetera. And no, this is just not okay. So the update to 2017 is this has to go away. The sham battle has to go away. No one's trying to take away the Founders Day parade. You know, that's not anybody's place to take that part of it away. But the offensive part has to go away.
Jim Singer, you and I have talked about some similar issues here on this program. I wonder what you had to say to what Robert just said. There, media depictions, for example, can be very powerful. And there's always a battle on how peoples are depicted.
Yeah, we see that usually media is the conduit by which our national ideology is propagated. And so we see that ideology is the thing that explains what cause and effect and how things are supposed to be. So if we look at the American dream, we see that rich people are rich because they worked hard, poor people are poor because they did it, and the middle class are all those who are trying to go in either one of those groups. And we see that's actually much more complex than that. There are lots of different factors that lead towards economic inequality and success, and the same thing goes with race. We have different ideologies about the cause and effect of these different things. And I'm just thinking here, like, instead of completely getting rid of this sham battle, how great it would be to have the sovereign nation of these indigenous peoples here that were native to the area meet with the people of or the government of Wellsville and create a new tradition, to cast off these old traditions that have no more meaning in 2017, but take on a new step towards the future and saying, look, we are at a new place that's moving forward, that can also respect our past, but is looking at the relationships that exist today. I think that way we can be really getting at undermining the racism that's in systems, not necessarily people, but in the systems. Mm-hmm.
Let me go to Darren Perry. Before I go, let me add this comment that's come in by email, Mr. Perry, which is in a similar vein to what James just said. This is from Dave. Dave says, perhaps the folks in Wellsville just need to change the nature of their celebration. A good version of celebration of history and culture could take the shape of a celebration from years ago in Zion National Park in Springdale. The Southern Utah Folklife Festival, held annually, brought Mormon pioneer descendants, Southern Paiute people, and other residents together for demonstrations of their respective cultures and arts. The atmosphere was festive, respectful, and educational. It brought people from all around the world to celebrate and learn. There are ways to celebrate the past without demeaning or misrepresenting other cultures.
James, I'm glad you said that, and I'm glad the person that emailed that in said that. At the conclusion of our meeting last Tuesday with the Wellsville officials, that was my message. As they said, what would you like to see come out of this? And I said, let's use it as an educational opportunity. We have a wonderful chance here, a one-time chance to do the right thing, to sit down together. My proposal was, if you'd like myself or a member of our tribal council to sit on your planning committee, let's plan out a celebration where we can both enjoy our cultures. I said, we'd love to come up and be a part of it if you would like us to be a part of it. That's their decision, not ours. But if they'd like us to be a part of it, we'd love to be a part of it. We'd love to bring Native dancers up there, our music, our culture, and share it with the local people of Wellsville. It'd be something that everybody could be proud of. So we've discussed that, and I think going forward, that's probably what's going to happen.
Hmm. Robert Lucero, I don't know if you've seen, I think you grew up in California and you're a recent resident of Utah. I wonder if you've seen anything like this that could, seems like a more hopeful way, a more multicultural way to point this.
Mm-hmm. I definitely have. There's a lot of respect in Los Angeles for the relationship between Mexico and the United States, for example, and the history there. The history in the old Pueblo of Los Angeles. I have to also say, you know, Robert Gerke brought up the connection to the Confederate monuments. When I moved to Virginia in the early 90s, and I was surprised to see that Martin Luther King's birthday was celebrated the same day as Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. They had this thing called Lee Jackson King Day, so he had to celebrate all three on one day. And I just couldn't believe that at the time, 1993, that this was still going on. But they've moved past that. There's other things like that that are occurring where they recognize that this is just not right. This is not where we are, who we are as a people. I think that
And this is, I think, a challenge for some of the folks in Wellsville. They say, well, this is our event. You know, stay out of it. If you don't want to be here, we don't want anybody outside of Wellsville. They even refer to people that are the newer residents of Wellsville as, you know, move-ins. So there's a very, as you said earlier, the chairman said, there's a very dug-in group of folks. And we understand, you know, this is something they've been used to doing. As James Singer said, there's systems that are in place. But when it is a city-sanctioned event, it does become a topic for public dialogue and discussion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where it was Robert Kirkey's place as a journalist to say something about it. It is our place as activists, certainly the place of the chairman of the Shoshone, Northwestern Shoshone Band, to say we don't like this. So yeah, there's definitely been examples of how we can move forward and be respectful of cultures, and I think Wellsville is going to be able to go through a good lesson on that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's for the future. You know, one of the things that I just want to add, the question is, how does it look in the eyes of the children that are at these events, the Founders Day? You want to say it's a culture and all this that's been passed down, but do you really want your kids to be thinking that it's okay to just imitate Indians with red paint?
Right. James Singer, well, let me just throw in a comment here. I do take your point, Robert, about the move-ins. And I think you got to live there 40 years or something before you're no longer a move-in. It's probably a small town in America anywhere you go. James Singer, I wonder what a potential solution like the one you suggested, like the one Dave suggested, how would that look if we did that writ large with the whole monument controversy nationwide?
Like
I wonder, put on your thinking cap.
The whole U.S.?
Right, yeah.
Oh, that would be a radical change in how we're seeing things done in the United States. I think it'd be fantastic. I think there'd be some growing pains that we'd have to push through in some of these areas. And it just kind of gets at different ways of thinking within our own politics, I believe. We have a two-party system, but even within those parties, there are different ways of thinking. And I think that was even evident here in Utah, where you saw, the majority of conservative voters voting for Donald Trump, but then a large portion also voting for an independent conservative, saying, you know what, we're not going to follow blindly these ideas that some maybe radical people will take. We have our own values that we have to critically think about and self-reflect on and see which direction we want to take. And so I think, even though this might seem like some crazy snowflakes on the left that are causing amok outside of Cache Valley, it's actually not. I think there are people who are very cognizant and want to push those things forward. You'll see that in different areas across the United States too. There are people who are of different strains who want to see things better for all people, for all Americans.
Let's take another break. When we come back, we'll have more with Darren Perry, who's chairman of the Northwestern Band of the Shoshone Nation. Robert Lucero, Utah activist with the Native American tribes. He's organizer of the press conference and rally that's happening on Wednesday. And that is happening, Robert, at 5 p.m. in front of the Wellsville City offices, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So press conference and rally, and then my understanding is Darren Perry will be addressing the city council meeting. And we have with us on the phone James Singer with Utah League of Native American Voters. I've been collecting the statement which we received from Wellsville City. I'll read that at the beginning of the next segment, and we'll talk more about the sham battle. So it happened for some 100 years as part of the Wellsville Founders Day. Some Native Americans have sat, I guess, in silence and been offended, but it really erupted in controversy. Solutions trying to be found following a Robert Gerke column in Salt Lake Tribune. More follows this break.
Programming on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our members and the Cache Valley Visitors Bureau, showcasing outdoor access to the National Forest for hiking, fishing, and camping. Information on trails, campsites, and more is available online at explorelogan.com.
I'm Nicole Heaps, arts reporter for Utah Public Radio. Part of my job here at UPR is to bring you stories about what is current with things such as art, culture, and music. If you have comments, story ideas, or questions for any of us here at the station, I'd love to hear them. Please visit our website at upr.org or call us at 1-800-826-1495. You can also share ideas with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Just be sure to include the hashtag IAMUPR. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Access Utah. We reached our last segment on the sham battles. Has happened for some 100 years as a part of the Wellsville Founders Day celebration, which happens around Labor Day every year. And it's a mock battle where Mormon pioneers are depicted in their covered wagons, attacked by other white actors on horseback in red and black face paint and headdresses and such, hooping and hollering. Native Americans are saying this is offensive, and they want to see changes. And this erupted in controversy and came to the attention of many people who weren't aware of it through a Robert Gerke column in the Salt Lake Tribune. We want to know what you think. You can email us to upraccess@gmail.com, upraccess@gmail.com, or you can call us to 800-826-1495, 800-826-1495. We have with us in studio Darren Perry, who's chairman of the Northwestern Band of Shoshone Nation. Also in studio is Robert Lucero, Utah activist with Native American Tribes. He's organizer of a press conference and rally that's happening in Wellsville in front of the city offices 5 p.m. on Wednesday ahead of the city council meeting. James Singer with Utah League of Native American Voters joins us on the telephone. So let me, as promised, get to this statement from the Wellsville city officials. We invited them to participate in the program, and they sent a statement. Let me find this here. Here we go. This is over the signature of Kaylee Names, Wellsville City Councilwoman and Founders Day Council Representative. This is what she says. Dear citizens, Wellsville City has been overwhelmed by the correspondence received about our Founders Day sham battle. Please forgive us for not commenting or responding immediately. We have been recipients of articles, emails, and social media posts of concern regarding the reenactment of our pioneer tradition. Wellsville City is working to review and make the changes necessary to portray an accurate representation of the relationship between the Northwestern Band of the Shoshone Nation and the Mormon pioneers in Wellsville. Wellsville City officials met with tribal members of the Northwestern Band of the Shoshone Nation and agree our depiction of the Native Americans portrayed in the annual Founders Day sham battle does not convey the relationship the pioneers had or the respect we have today for our Native American neighbors. Wellsville City meant no disrespect. We apologize if we've offended anyone. We are grateful for this opportunity to have productive conversations with the Northwestern Band of Shoshone Nation. They have agreed to help us create an updated event that depicts historical accuracy and may tell a story rich in heritage and culture. Thank you. Signed, Kaylee Names, Wellsville City Councilwoman. So that Darren Perry seems hopeful that a compromise can be reached.
Absolutely. And that was the message that we left. When they left our city offices the other day, that was the message. So that's a good thing.
And you're going to be addressing the council meeting on Wednesday. So
I will, for sure.
Let me, we have a couple of emails come in. Let's address these. This is, first of these is from Glenn. He says, if we reenact any battle, reenact Wounded Knee. Do the entire thing in the style of the opening scene of the Saving Private Ryan. Show women and children being run down in sub-zero temperatures over several miles. Make it real. Even show the 7th Cavalry troopers who were awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for their quote-unquote valor for their actions. Stephen Ambrose had to get up and walk out of Saving Private Ryan because it was too close to his experiences. I know this sounds harsh, but if people watched that and came away with a near PTSD issue, very few would ever take this lightly again. It's a shame that sympathy has to be generated by such a poignant action. I'll direct that first to Robert. We talked a little bit about this sort of idea earlier in the program.
Right. I think there was a discussion that happened where it was recommended to some of these officials before they got to the point that you just read, where there's an understanding that something has to be changed, where it was suggested, well, if you want to have an accurate portrayal, let's go ahead and have people massacred and babies killed. And, yeah, they said we want no part of that. So, yeah, they did not want to do that. And, again, it's just a question of I think people don't realize how much America needs to grow here and there still. You got good folks again in Wellsville who like to carry the American flag, and that's great. You know, we support the American flag. But part of supporting the American flag is supporting some honest American dialogue that may require you to actually examine things you've just been doing for a long time that may not be right. Mm-hmm. So it's an opportunity for us to really grow as a community, as part of the growing of the country. And again, to look at this question of relations between the pioneers and the natives that were here, whether the Northwestern Shoshone Band or the Utes in the Wasatch Front, Paiutes and so forth in the other parts of the country, and down in the southeast with the Bears Ear situation. What's the level of dialogue that government officials have with Native American tribes? Is it respectful? So activists like myself will definitely call people out on that, and we may even be more strident than some of the elected Native American leaders are. But that's sort of our duty as just individual activists out there who have that freedom.
Here's another email, sort of in the similar vein. I'll direct this first to James Singer. This is from John. John says, I do enjoy history and do enjoy visiting various rebuilt forts, seeing historic reenactment of the life of the settlers. And so I only have one problem with reenactment of any battle. Is it historically accurate? If it is, we need these celebrations as learning devices. Perhaps what we need is for the Indians to take part in framing the lesson of battles past. Also, I would like to see Cedar City do a reenactment of Mountain Meadows Massacre, one which accurately depicts the vicious attack on unarmed women, men, women, and children as young as seven by the Mormons, who dressed up first as Indians, attacking the Fancher wagon train, and then came back to take as fake, quote-unquote, Mormon rescuers, who came up to the train under the white flag of peace, told the roughly 150 American citizens to leave their arms behind, and then shot them all in the face and head from close range, sometimes shooting children in the face from only a few feet away. That's John. So kind of a similar idea, James.
Yeah, that I understand, I think, where people are coming from, where some of this shock and awe value might seem excusable to make a point. And I just think that that's really sad. Because I have a daughter, and she's 15 months. She's Native. And to imagine seeing that depicted, it makes my soul hurt. I would really not want to see something like that have to go through. On the flip side, hearing the statement from the Wellsville City Council person, like, this could be the moment. This could be a fantastic point going forward in our race relations in the 21st century. This could be a turning point that other communities can look to and say, yes, even though we're a small town with conservative values, we can still be respectful of people of other cultures and subcultures and be cognizant of our history and do something new going forward. And I think that, if anything, is a comment on the American narrative of how it constantly changes to include more in that narrative. And if we really want to include all people, including Natives, we need to be treating everyone the same way. So I think that going so far as to show these graphic and gory scenes would be lamentable. I think for some people it would work, but I would really hope not to see something like that.
Here's a comment from Carl, who has emailed us. So you can get a quick comment in, but to upraxcess@gmail.com. Carl says, the white race nearly wiped out the Native American population when settling the U.S. It's really a shameful period in our history, and we continue to mistreat them. The sham battle is no different than the Confederate monuments. It's time to put a stop to celebrating the black periods in our history and move forward and treat each other with respect. That's Carl. We reached the time in the program where we just have a few minutes left, and I want to get final comments from everybody. Let's start on that with James Singer. Just about a minute or so.
Sure. Well, I think just to reiterate that this could be that moment of going forward. I remember I lived in Logan for 3 years. I had met some wonderful people, and I think most people are very receptive to new ideas like this. And I really think that going forward under the leadership of Councilperson Perry here and the councilperson over in Wellsville, this could be a wonderful example of how to handle race relations in the 21st century. So I'm excited going forward, and I also wish Robert Lucero good luck in his press conference on Wednesday.
Robert, we'll give you the next word, just about a minute, your final comments.
Well, again, I think in the short period of time since Labor Day, when this occurred, and the media that came out, and the back and forth that's occurred between the community and leaders like the chairman, Perry, and now the city council's public response to the residents, which will probably be more public at the city council meeting itself. As James said, we see some important progress made in a relatively very short period of time, showing that there is this mature level of discussion that can occur between sovereign organizations, the city council, and the government of the Shoshone Band. with the input of activists and residents of Wellsville. This wasn't just some outside agitators and such. There's people in Wellsville who have wanted this to go away for a long time, who do want to see the kind of respectful expression of both sides culturally. So I'm excited. I'm optimistic about the ability to change this and have a nice little victory for everybody involved.
And we'll give the last word to Darren Perry, just a couple of minutes.
Thank you. I look at history and I think that if you look at the country's narrative today and where we're at today, we've lost our ability to compromise. And you're either on one side or you're on the other, and that's a sad, sad place to be. I don't think we're here in the same vein with the people of Wellsville. We've opened a dialogue, and it's been wonderful, and I love the people of Wellsville. We were, they were readily ready to hear our perspective. And our perspective is different than their perspective. I'm not one to erase history. I think we need to learn from histories. But I'm also one to not celebrate certain aspects of history, especially when you have one aspect of history that goes forward and you don't hear anything else. And that's our message. Let's be a little more historically accurate, in the least, and let us have a say. Native Americans have never had a say. And listen to us. We have a voice, and what we have to say is important. It's not more important than what you have to say, but it's certainly as important. And there's a quote that I often use that says, doesn't the left wing and the right wing all belong to the same bird? Mm-hmm. And if you can keep that in mind and respect and listen to everyone's point of view, then I think we're going to be better off as a country.
That's a good place to end the conversation. We've been talking with Darren Perry, who's the chairman of the Northwestern Band of Shoshone Nation. Welcome, or thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
We've also been talking with Robert Lucero, who's a Utah activist with Native American tribes, organizer of press conference and rally, and that again is in Wellsville, 5 p.m. on Wednesday.
Right. Thank you, Tom.
Outside the offices. Thank you so much. And James Singer with Utah League of Native American Voters. Thank you to you.
Of course. You're welcome.
And thanks for listening. Keep those comments coming to upraccess@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to Access Utah Today.
Programming on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our members and Moab Area Travel Council, whose support of tourism, events, and recreation in Grand County promotes and protects the natural beauty for visitors from across the state of Utah. Information available online at discovermoab.com.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, cyber activism.
More and more these days, people are using the internet to organize, mobilize, and get their voices heard.
You mean instead of organizing, mobilizing, and making a real difference, we sit on our butts and sign online petitions?
John, you're such a cyber cynic.
Well, you're a cyber simpleton.
Cyber activism, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Join us Tuesday at 4 a.m. on Utah Public Radio.
This is Ted Twinting, and I am a development officer with Utah Public Radio. Underwriting with UPR allows you and your business to capture the attention and ears of informed, educated, and savvy consumers across the state of Utah. To learn more about becoming a sponsor with UPR, call our development team at 435-797-3141.
You're listening to Utah Public Radio, a statewide service of Utah State University and the College of Humanities and Social Sciences. KUSR Logan, KUSK Vernal, KUSL Richfield, KUST Moab, KCEU Price, KUSU FM Logan, also heard at upr.org.